Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Uttale Chimati Bhakti Vedanta Shamanita Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Guru Vani Pucharane Namaste Sasamivali Pucharate Desatarane Om Aginatamirandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chaksusmilatan Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manabhistam Stapitan Jaina Uttale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Stapandantikam Mansa kalpa trubhyascha, kripa sindhu bhaji bhaja, patitaram pavane vyo bhajjum vipya namo namo. Yesterday evening, we heard one pastime, or rather we heard about the journey from Advaita Charja's house in Shantipur in Bengal that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made, all the way to Jagannath Puri. And this evening, we'll hear what happened when Mahaprabhu entered the temple. And what did happen, in a somewhat peculiar organizational style, we'll explain what happened when he went into the temple right now, but we'll tell the story this evening, because something quite wonderful happened, and that was he met Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So we'll tell the pastime this evening, and we unavoidably we'll speak about it today to some degree, this morning to some degree. But the complete story told somewhat a little bit differently because it's from Chaitanya Bhagavat as opposed to Chaitanya Charitamrita, which we'll be reading from today. But in any case, when Mahaprabhu entered the temple, he entered alone. He wasn't with his associates. Now, does anyone remember why? Yes. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, the way we read it last night, he just decided at the place known as Alalanath Ataranala, that he wanted to walk into Jagannath Puri alone. But the way Chaitanya Charitamrita describes it is that Nityananda Prabhu, as we heard yesterday, in his inimitable style, broke Mahaprabhu's danda, and he threw it into the Mahanadi River, I believe. And it's now that river is also known as Danda Banga Nadi, the place where the danda was broken. And there's a closely affiliated ashram with ISKCON, with Prabhupada Society, right there in the place. So when Mahaprabhu, his danda was broken, he said, indirect style, "I'm going alone. Should I go first or should you go first?" Now, why didn't the devotees want Mahaprabhu to go second, to go last? Because Mahaprabhu was always falling into ecstasy. And at least if he was ahead of them when they would walk, if he was in difficulty, they would come close to him and they would be able to help him if help was required. So even in their choices, even though does anyone remember what Mukunda said, why we will go first, why we'll go second? Oh yes, we have that's some work to do or something. He just said something, but what was in his mind? What was in his mind was the welfare of Mahaprabhu, because this is the nature of love. This is also described in Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita as the essence of the activities of Braja, especially, specifically the Braja Gopikas. that regardless of what it appears that they're doing, whether they're combing their hair or looking in the mirror, usually when we look in the mirror, at least when we're young, we look in to admire ourselves. When we're older, something else happens when we look in the mirror. Who's that looking at me? I feel like a kid inside. And so regardless of what the Brajagopikas are doing, only one thing is on their mind. Don't be fooled by the externals, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj says. They only are thinking about Krishna. Their love is of the purest variety, and therefore they are in Braja. And this is the qualification for being in Sri Vrindavan Dham, that one's love has to be as purified as, in the words of Srila Narottama Das Thakur, gold purified 100 times in 100 flames, where the gold is melted and maybe some impurities rise to the top. And then those are somehow extracted. And then the gold solidifies. And then it's melted again. And the flame is still higher. The heat is still higher. And some impurities may come to the surface. And then they are removed. And again, until that gold is not 99.9% pure, it is 100% pure. That is Vrindavan. And that topic about the purity of the devotion for the residents of Vrindavan, for Krishna, indirectly comes up in today's discussion. Because when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walked in the temple, he met Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was his main reason, in one sense, in going to Jagannath Puri. He wanted to meet Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But let's rewind a little bit. I don't want to say back up, because everyone will start going towards that corner. We don't mind if you rewind, but the danda was broken. Now, why did Nityananda Prabhu break the danda? What did he say was the reason? Huh? But what did he say was the reason that we heard last night? No, that's not what he said was the reason. Who broke it? Yes. The one who has accepted the danda, meaning Mahaprabhu, is the one who has broken it. That's what he said. And it was true. Now, he himself had a different reason for breaking the danda. Because things, events, can be seen from many different sides. And if you ask 10 different people what happened in one event, how many different versions will you get? A minimum of 10. Sometimes 15, sometimes 20. I know there was one Mataji who had a class, who was a Gurukula teacher, and she staged something for her students, young teenagers, and they were having class, and she wanted to make the point that everyone has their different perspective, because usually we think, or I think, what I see is reality. And everyone else, if they understood what I was seeing, they would change their point of view. So she staged something. Did I mention this before? Ever? That she staged a fight. This one devotee came in, and he was doing something, and he came in with his teenage son. And then they started arguing with each other. It was all a drama. But the students didn't know. And they started arguing with each other. And then they started pushing each other. And then they started yelling. At first they were yelling, rather. And then they were pushing. And then the father became so angry, he threw his son off of the veranda. And then they both stormed away. And the teacher had arranged it so she wasn't in the room at that time. So then she came in, and all the teenage girls, they were, oh, something terrible is happening, something terrible. And she walked in, and what happened? And the first person said, well, this happened, and this happened, and this happened. And the second person said, no, that's not what happened. This is what happened, and this happened, and this happened. And then, no, that wasn't what happened. This is what happened, and this happened, and this happened. And there were 16 teenage girls in the class, and this isn't just true just for teenage girls, but they got 10 different versions of what happened. And they couldn't even agree upon the colors of the shirts and the sweatshirt, the jumpers that they were wearing. So there are always many points of view. And in illusion, we think our point of view is reality. But it's actually only Krishna who sees everything from every point of view, and his viewpoint is reality. In any case, from Nityananda Prabhu's viewpoint, he broke the danda because he wanted to make a point that Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord. And what is this ekadanda sannyas? Required tridandi. He's tridandi. And he's the Supreme Lord. He doesn't need these external formalities. Somehow he's accepted sannyas, but to carry this as an austerity, he doesn't need this. Useless. He's the Supreme Lord. He threw it away. He threw it in the river. That's how that's what Mahaprabhu did with that. He threw it in the nadi, the river. So that was from Nityananda Prabhu's point of view. And from the point of view of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted a reason to enter into Jagannath Puri alone, because he was going to stage his own drama. And he wanted it to have an effect. He wanted to have a one-on-one meeting with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in his own ecstasies. Now, from Krishna's point of view, because I don't know if you've noticed this, so many things happen in life that we can't understand why they happen. Difficult to comprehend why things happen. Has anyone ever noticed that? Because especially like we start chanting Hare Krishna and we think, Jai Prabhu, Hare Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, it's just prasadam. And we'll just all be simply happy and everyone's simply pure and etc., etc., etc. And if we have that type of an idealistic attitude, because the very nature of the material world never allows this type of pure, simple occurrence. It's always mixed, always many, many things will happen. And if we have this idealistic attitude and thinking everything will be simply gulab jamuns, life is just a bowl of gulab jamuns, everyone is miserable, but Krishna chant Hare Krishna and eat gulab jamuns. If we have that kind of attitude, we will turn cynical. What does cynical mean? Bitter and thinking badly about, oh, this isn't good, and this is bad, and because this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. Very difficult to understand the occurrences of this world. Even in this world, Krishna's own parents, Devaki and Vasudeva, were put into prison. The Pandavas suffered so much so, that Bhishma Dev, who was a warrior, a staunch warrior who is strong. You have to be so strong-minded to be a warrior. You have to see people dying before your eyes and not be affected by it. And yet, when Yudhisthira stood before him, at the time of Bhishma Dev's departure from this world, the great warrior was reduced to tears, thinking how much the Pandavas had to suffer. And he said, He gave an explanation of why, the great explanation of why things happen the way they happen. And he said, Sarvam kalakritam manye, Sarvam kalakritam manye bhavato na charapriyam. Sapalo yadvashayloko vayam eva ganavali. That actually all that happens is ultimately under the force of time. The inexplicable forces of time that move everyone here and there. Now he's going to give the other most important part of the puzzle in a few moments. And he says that everyone is carried by time. Not only carried, but pushed and forced by time. Just like clouds are carried by the wind. They don't say, I'd like to go left, please. I don't like to go right. No, where the wind blows them, they go. This contradicts directly our personal illusion that I am in control of my life and my circumstances, and what I desire is somewhat likely to happen. And well, the fact is that we are just one of the factors, and our desire is just one of the factors in what happens. And there are so many other factors, and the ultimate factor is the anumanta, the permitter, the witness, upadrasta anumantata, bharta, bhokta, maheshvara, paramatmikti, chapyukto, dehismin, purusha, para, the Lord in the heart. The ultimate factor in everything. Then Bhishma says, if this were not the case, that inevitable time is causing everything, then yatra dharma sato rajan gadapani vikrodhara. How could this all have happened? What, the suffering that you have gone through, how could it have happened in the presence, O Yudhisthira, of Bhishma, of Arjuna, and ultimately, how could it have happened, your suffering, in the presence of Krishna himself? In the presence of Krishna himself. And then, and you yourself are so pious and pure. Good things should only happen to good people. And then he says, Nahi yasya kahichit rajan, pumam veda viditsitam, yaj vigyatsayor, yuktam uyanti kavayopihi. That the greatest thinkers, the most intelligent persons who are able to figure out everything, they themselves are unable to understand the plan of the Lord. No one can understand the plan of the Lord. We are carried by time, by fate, by our karma. And for a devotee, he accepts by the will of the Lord. So what should we do? Should we be frozen? I can't do anything. Should we take that mood? What I want, what I think is best, nothing really has any relevance. No one can agree on anything. Everyone has different points of view of reality. So what, do I become frozen and can't think of doing anything because it's too confusing? No. Then Bhishma Dev gives his conclusion about what should be done. And he says, Tasmat, therefore, knowing this, here is the conclusion. Tasmat idam daivatantram vyasa bharatasava tasyanu nahita narta natapahi prajapabu. considering all things, you should do your duty. You are the king. And the events leading up to this were quite incredible, actually. If it would be another series of classes that we can't enter into right now, otherwise we won't be able to begin today's topic. But so many people had been killed to make him the king, and he had no desire to reign. Just like Arjuna was in so much anxiety for seeing the destruction that would occur on the Battle of Kurukshetra, he foresaw it. But Yudhisthira actually experienced it after that they all had died. All Arjuna's fears had come true. Millions of people had been killed, and Yudhisthira was the one who was going. It was to put him as the king on the throne to reign. And he felt terrible. This has all been done to put me on the throne. And Bhishma Dev said, you cannot understand the plan of the Lord, why he does what he does. And then how to react? You should do your duty, O Lord, O King Yudhisthira. The citizens are unprotected now. You should do your duty and care for them. And this is the answer to the question of what we should do. And it is, we should do our duty for the pleasure of Krishna. We should know who we are. And who are we? We're servants, individuals, with our individual responsibilities and service. And at best, for the pleasure of Krishna. And then, who is our master? I'm a servant. Who is my master? And then we should know what our service is. And then regardless of what the externals appear to be, we want to keep ourselves fixed in this mood of I am a servant and I will do my service regardless of anything. Vyavya Satmika Buddhya. Whether the universe exists or it doesn't exist, I will do my service to please my master. Yudhisthira's service was to be the king. So the different points of view in viewing everything, and no one can understand the ultimate point of view, Krishna's point of view, Muyanti Kaviyopihi, and we should do our duty in the midst of it all, of this very complex circumstance we call our lives, with so many conflicting things that occur to us. We should do our duty as servants and best for the pleasure of our master, of Krishna. Now, how does a pure soul, pure meaning fully sincere in his service, how does he view all the difficulties then? And the answer is given by Lord Brahma in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto. Tateinu kampam, who knows this verse? Tateinu kampam susumikshamano bunjane vapmakripavapakam vidvav vivapodan dadama namaste jivateyo muktipade sadayabak. We accept the difficulties of life as due to us. As due to us, due to our previous improprieties in this life or previous lives. And we should accept them, offering obeisances to Krishna with words, heart and mind, body, and think, Krishna's mercy, I deserve much worse than I am getting. There are always many things, many plans of Krishna. Now, after the danda was broken, Mahaprabhu's plan, Krishna's plan, was to meet Savabhauma Bhattacharya. And when he went in to see Lord Jagannath, Mahaprabhu fell unconscious. And here is one of the difficulties in my class presentation today, as I have to tell some of the story, but I don't want to tell too much of it because tonight we'll hear it again. But he fell unconscious, and he was brought to the home of Savabhauma Bhattacharya. And he remained unconscious, thinking about Lord Jagannath, Mahaprabhu did, in deep, deep internal ecstasy, in love for the Lord. Remember how inspired he was just by thinking of the name of Jagannath, thinking how he would soon see his Lord. And then when he saw him, he went completely unconscious, internal in his mood. Savabhauma Bhattacharya brought him to his house. He was brought back to consciousness after 9 hours. And in this way, he opened up a relationship with Savabhauma Bhattacharya. Now, Savabhauma Bhattacharya, who was the king's pandit, Rajki pandit, he was the advisor of the king, Prataprudra. And he was a historical person, very famous, actually. I mean, not famous like a cricket player, not that famous, but he was famous as a great scholar. And it is one time I read in a history book that there was a school of what was called Navanyaya, logic, in Mathila, and they had a specific book. And they would not allow any copies made of this book because they wanted to remain the central school for this system of Navanyaya, the system of logic. So no one was allowed to copy the book, and everyone had to come to their school to learn this system. And Savabhauma Bhattacharya went there, and he was such a powerful scholar that he memorized the entire book and then went to Navadvip and began his own school. And it was Navadvip became the center of Navanyaya at that time. And then it is said, because he was ultimately a great devotee, he did not want to witness the Lord's pastimes of scholarship. Mahaprabhu's pastimes of scholarship. So he went to Jagannath Puri, this great, great, powerful, incredible intellectual, went to Jagannath Puri. That was his internal reason, it is sometimes said. But he went there. The king had heard about him, and he had brought him all the way from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri for his Shastric advisor, to be his advisor. And there, he became a great, powerful teacher of Vedanta. He was so learned in Vedanta. But he was a Mayavadi, an impersonalist, externally. Now, the Chaitanya Bhagavat will describe him as a devotee, but Krishnadas Kaviraj describes him, and the whole thrust of what we will speak about today is Savabhauma Bhattacharya as an impersonalist, a student of Vedanta, an incredible intellectual who processed everything through his intelligence and tried to understand the absolute truth by his power, the power of his intelligence. Because this is how we decide what to do and what's true and what's not true. We analyze it. We consider it from this point, from that point, and then we make our decisions. So this whole school of philosophy, which is the school of Uttara Mimamsa, in the Vedic language, studying Vedanta, and it is headed by Sripad Sankaracharya and his followers. It is Advaita Gyan, Advaitavad, which means that through the intelligence, and it is actually possible to do this by one's intelligence, if one's intelligence is subtle and fine enough, one can dissociate himself, that feeling of I-ness, from the body, from the mind, even from the intelligence. And one can perceive oneself by one's own power as existence. And this is the Shankaracharya's, through the intelligence, his and through study, this is the path that they follow. And they reach to some degree, some realization of the oneness of everything in existence. And if you've achieved that, some realization, some experiential realization of that, you're going to think yourself quite wonderful because you've done it. You've seen spirit. You've extracted spiritual realization from this confusing world of matter, while everyone else is sort of just entangled and just playing with this matter, bewildered by it, confused, trapped. That was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he was teaching hundreds and hundreds of sannyasis even. He was a householder, but he was teaching. He was such a vast intellect. He possessed such a vast intellect and such a shastric person. And he was a smarta brahmana. Smarta not meaning smarter than everyone else, although he was smarter than everyone else. But smarta means he's following smriti, the shastra. Follow strictly. There's one time our Sukadev Sharma. He's a shaman. His grandfather. He told me that his grandfather was such a strict smarta brahmana that different times of the year he would bathe, follow, facing in different directions, and this rule and that regulation and this and this and this. Everything completely governed, every activity governed by some rule or regulation from some scripture or another. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had Mahaprabhu in his house, and he was with Gopinathacharya. Gopinathacharya was a resident of Nabadweep who had come to live in Jagannath Puri, and he was a devotee of Mahaprabhu. And his wife, this is one of those things that bewilder the Western mind, his wife's father's son, that's her brother, was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And there's a name for that. What is that? What is the brother-in-law? Buddha's brother-in-law? How do you say that in Bengali? It's what? What is it? Shala. Yes? Hindi. Huh? Oh, don't say those words, Prabhu. In any case, why don't we... Because this topic is so heavy and thick and intellectual that we're going to open up all the windows and we're going to ask Lux and our Prabhu and everyone to make jokes every now and then to keep us awake and tell us what everything means in Hindi, all the bad words. So how would you know any bad words? No, that was not the question. Nice young boy. Yes. Oh, I know, I could tell you some of the Brijbasi ones like that. But later, after class. What were we talking about again? Was some philosophy or something? Oh yeah. So Gopinath Acharya had a relationship with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, a familiar relationship, and they were very intimate. And Gopinath Acharya was a devotee of Mahaprabhu, living in Jagannath Puri, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the king's pundit, and he was an Advaitavadi, a Mayavadi. So Gopinath Acharya would tease him all the time. He would chastise him all the time. He would make fun of him. And this way, because of their intimate relationship, they would act. Now, Sarvabhauma, but Mahaprabhu came to consciousness back from his ecstasies. And then Gopinath Acharya was with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Mukunda Dutta. Okay, that's the scene. Everything clear? Anyone have any questions at this point? Because now we begin. Now, I'm going to have to refer to probably so many pages here. We'll see how if we can even do it. There. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Gopinath Acharya, he said, that sannyasi, meaning Mahaprabhu, please listen carefully, is very meek and humble by nature, and his person is very beautiful to see. My affection for him increases. He was like the age of Mahaprabhu's father. Mahaprabhu was 24 years old at this time. From which sampradaya has he accepted the sannyas order? And what is his name? He didn't know anything about him. And Gopinath Acharya replied, his name is Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and his sannyas guru is the greatly fortunate Keshava Bharati. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Well, Sri Krishna is a good name, but he took sannyas in the Bharati Sampradaya, and that is a lesser Sampradaya. He's a second-class sannyasi, therefore. Gopinath Acharya replied, Sri Krishna Chaitanya does not rely on these external formalities. There's no need for him to accept the sannyas order from a superior sampradaya. He's the Supreme Lord. He was aware and knew of him like that. And Bhattacharya required, he said further, second problem with him, with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he's just a boy, practically speaking. How could he be a sannyasi and maintain sannyas for his whole life? He's 24 years old and he's beautiful. I know what to do to help him. I shall continuously recite the Vedanta philosophy before Chaitanya so he may remain fixed in his renunciation and thus enter into the path, Advaita path of monism. Narantara ihanke Vedanta sunaibe. I will continuously speak to him Vedanta because Vedanta will get him philosophically so much situated in his intellect that he'll basically forget about his body and his youth and he'll be saved in that way. He'll be able to be renounced. Vairagya Advaita Marg. He will be fixed in Vairagya by this Advaita Marg. Pravesh, by entering that, I will change him and make his sannyas and his situation, his renunciation, and his philosophical realization strong. And then he said, and if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would like, I could bring him into a first-class sampradaya. I will reinitiate him and offer him saffron cloth again and make him elevate him in that way. Why are you giggling? Why? Tell me. Why? You'll will tell me? Who will tell me why? What is funny about this?
No, I'm not going to say why.
Huh? Okay. All those who giggled, raise your hand. Okay, why? Yes. Renunciation. Okay. Anyone having any deeper thoughts? Why? He's the Lord himself. What does it say about Sarvabhaumacharya? What does it say about him? What does it say? Would one say that he had a very high estimation of himself by the things that he said? What do you think? Was he a little bit proud, perhaps? I will fix him. I will make him. I will fix his sannyas. I will improve his situation in that way. And he didn't even know his name before, 2 minutes before. And Krishna, so much assumption. And of course, he does things like that, but I never do things like that. I never think myself, first time I meet the person, I'm much better than that person. I'd never do something like that. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was the most incredible scholar in Navadvip, actually. In any case, so when Sarvabhauma spoke like this, Gopinath Acharya and Mukunda Datta became very unhappy. Caused them pain in their heart, in their consciousness. And Gopinath Acharya, who knew him, they were brother-in-laws, they had a relationship, he would act very strongly with him sometimes. He said, Vatacharya to me, iha na jana mahima, you don't know his glories. Bhagavata lakshana. He has all the characteristics of the Bhagavat. What are the characteristics of the Supreme Lord, of Bhagavan? Sadaishwarya Purna. He possesses all opulence, all strength, all wealth, everything to the fullest degree, all beauty, all knowledge, all renunciation. And you're going to improve his knowledge and renunciation? He has all the symptoms of the Bhagavata. You don't know his greatness. All the symptoms of the Supreme Lord, Bhagavata Lakshana, are there in the highest degree. He is celebrated as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And those who are ignorant in this connection. Now, a person who's like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who prides himself on his knowledge, and he was indeed practically the greatest scholar in the world, he's being called ignorant. Those who are ignorant in this connection find the conclusion of knowledgeable men very difficult to understand. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had his disciples with him. So the disciples came to his rescue and said, by what evidence do you conclude that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord, that he's the Bhagavat, he has Bhagavat Lakshana? What is your evidence? Gopinath Acharya replied, which is ironic and funny in the sense, they said, how do you know, how can you prove what Shastra says that he's the Supreme Lord? It's funny because the Mayavadis say that everyone is God, right? But then when Mahaprabhu comes and he has all the symptoms, none of us have the symptoms of being God at all. We have no opulence, you know, our bodies are, anyway, we don't. Trust me, as they say, we're not God, right? But when Mahaprabhu comes, they want proof that he's the Supreme Lord. And Gopinath Acharya replied, the statements of authorized acharyas who understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the proof. And then the shishya, the disciples said, we understand the absolute truth by the process of anuman. This is called the pramana. Praman is the process of proving something, the authority, the evidence. And this, in Western philosophy, who knows what this is called? The science of knowing. It's called, what branch of philosophy covers that? It's called epistemology. How do you know something is true? If you want to get involved in on the subtle mental spheres, this is what you do. How do you know this is true? How do you know this has a blue dot on it? Well, you start thinking about how you know, because we take everything for granted. How do you know that's a blue dot? How do you, because my eyes perceive it as a blue dot. Well, how do you know what your eyes are perceiving reality? Because someone else may say, well, we all say the same thing. But if everyone said that it was a purple cow, would it make it a purple cow? The science of achieving knowledge is in Western philosophy is called epistemology. So they're explaining what their epistemology was. And they said we use anuman. Anuman means inference, means logical hypothesis, inferring. That this is because of this, therefore this, therefore this. It's an ascending process of gaining knowledge. And this is the basic knowledge acquiring system that is used by science. Starting with pratyaksha, or direct experience. And this is what the German philosopher Feuerbach, he called materialism. That I believe what I see. I only accept as truth what I see. And then based on that, what I can perceive with my senses, and based on that, I make inferences. I logically understand more. If this is true, and this is true, and this is true, therefore that is true. So, because these persons, Savabhauma Bhattacharya and his followers, were Advaitavadis, and they use the process, intellectual processes for understanding the absolute truth. So they said, we derive knowledge of the absolute truth by logical hypothesis, anuman, or inference. And Gopinath Acharya replied, one cannot attain real knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by using that methodology. We can gain knowledge as the scientists now seem to be, to some degree, gaining knowledge that of the through their processes of using cyclotrons and this kind of trons and that and atom smashing and quantum physics, that there is an ultimate energetic basis, and that was what Einstein. We're getting into a real scientific class. Sorry for that, but we'll. We'll get through it. Some of us will get through it anyway. But the idea that energy and mass are interchangeable, that physical elements can be changed into energy, unleashed into energy, and that's the whole thing with atomic power, the interchangeability of energy and physical items. So, that's something of what can actually be done through one's intelligence, perceive the energetic basis for all in reality. And that all of reality they call the absolute truth. And it's impersonal. It's just energy. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the leader of that type of a school, the Advaitavad school. But Gopinath Acharya said, you cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead using that methodology. So, in his purports to these verses, Prabhupada describes Shastra to prove this. Naham Prakasha Savata Savasya Yogamaya Sama. You can't see it. You can't see everything by your own intelligence. And then Gopinathacharya said, if one receives, he's going to speak about a different methodology. If one receives Ishwara Kripa Lesh, just the smallest bit, the smallest particle of Ishwara Kripa, the mercy of the Lord, then he can understand the actual nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A completely different process. One process starts with me and ends with my ability, and the other process is a descending process. The process really begins with Krishna and his mercy, his kindness, his compassion descending upon an individual soul. And that blesses that soul by Krishna's blessing. Then one can understand. Otherwise, what Gopinathacharya says, no matter how intelligent you are, no matter how pure you are, it is impossible to understand the Supreme Lord. One needs just a fragment, one drop of mercy. And then he quotes one of the verses of Lord Brahma to prove this point, because in these circles amongst learned persons of the Vedic culture, what they say, they quote Shastra, scripture, to back it up, to prove it. This is just not my opinion. It's not only my opinion. Shastra also says this. And then Gopinathacharya said to him, you are a great scholar, and you teach many disciples. Indeed, in this entire earth, there is not a scholar like you. But because you don't have even a pinch of the Lord's mercy. A pinch is a measurement you will find in Korma's cookbook. Take 2 pinches of salt, 1 pinch of black pepper, a small amount, not a teaspoon, not a tablespoon, not a half a cup or a cup or put in a kilo of, no, a pinch. And he says, because you don't have even a pinch of the mercy of the Supreme Lord, even though you are the greatest scholar on earth, you cannot understand him. Even though he is personally present in your home, you still cannot see. You are still blind. You are as blind as Kamsa, who was standing right in front of Krishna and saw something completely different. Because we don't see with our eyes. We see with our consciousness. Our mentality dictates what we see. Sometimes I think, only if I could just see Krishna one time, and then it would really fix me and it would make it so much easier. But no. Krishna is seen by consciousness. Of course, by his mercy. But even if Krishna was right in front of me, I could not see him. Because my consciousness is the wrong kind of consciousness. He was in front of Kamsa, and Kamsa could not see him. He was in front of the wrestlers in the wrestling arena, and they saw him as death. Savaharas Chaham. Kamsa saw him as death. The wrestlers saw him as a thunderbolt. Some people saw him as a super soul. Some people saw him as the most one, their dearest friend, a delicate boy. We see with our consciousness. And when our consciousness is benedicted by Krishna's mercy, which Gopinath Acharya said, Savamoma Bhattacharya, you don't have even a pinch of that, because if you had even a pinch, you would understand. But it's not your fault, he said. This is what Shastra says, that you cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by your scholarship. And Savabhoma Bhattacharya replied, because the implication was, I don't have any mercy, but you have, but I mean, Savabhoma is saying, I don't have mercy, but you have mercy. Well, what's the proof that you have received the mercy of the Lord? And Gopinath Acharya replied, interestingly, that knowledge is the proof. That you actually see things in the proper perspective. And you, although seeing the incredible symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that no human being can perform or can do, you've already seen this. And you can't see. And I have seen. And now I see clearly. I see it clearly that he's the Supreme Lord. So that is one way to understand mercy, is that one's consciousness perceives things accurately. An atheist, everywhere he looks, he can't see God anywhere. And a pure soul, a lover of Krishna, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena Shantasa Daiva Rideshu Valokyanti Yam Shama Sundaram Guna Sarupam Govindam. That for a pure soul, wherever he looks, he sees the Supreme Lord. For an atheist, wherever he looks, he sees matter. He's a materialist. His consciousness is like that. For a pure soul, wherever he looks, he sees Krishna. And it's obvious to the pure soul. It's as obvious as, what do we say? It's a funny example that they use in English. It's as obvious as, who knows the one I'm... Yes, exactly. The nose on your face. But thank you. Very good. Did you get that by Anuman or by mercy? But the funny thing about it, it's obvious as your nose on your face, is that you can't see your nose on your face. That's one funny thing about that. But everyone else can see it. It's obvious to everyone else, but it's not obvious to you. Right? Is it obvious that you have a nose on your face? Well, yeah, right. But we didn't have to do that to find out. We can just look. So, it's obvious. It's obvious. There is a Supreme Lord. We saw that last time I visited. We saw that video that showed about intelligent design. And It's simple. It's so simple. That was presented in a scientific way. But it's so simple. You look and see the organizational nature of a body. And the greatest scientists in the world can't figure out how we digest food, practically speaking, how food is assimilated into the body and it supplies energy. On and on and on and on. And there's the personal dealings of the Supreme Lord with his devotees. And yet, some people can see it, and it's as obvious to them as the nose on their face. And other people can't see it at all. Can't see it at all. And you can say, just look at this and look at this and look at this and look at this. And they'll say, well, you don't understand. You look at this and look at this and look at this and look at this. Looking at the same thing. And seeing two different items. Depends on the consciousness. So, then the discussion continues. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, you can't understand him because you don't have the mercy of the Lord. And if you have that, you can see the symptoms and understand who he is. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, don't get angry. We're just having a discussion amongst friends. But we speak according to Shastra. According to Shastra, there is no avatar incarnation of the Lord in Kali Yuga. And then Gopinath Acharya quotes two different Shastras to show that there is. And one of them is from the words of Gauga Muni, Gauga Rishi, Gauga Acharya, who says that in there's four different ages that the Lord comes. That there's the Yuga avatars, then there's the Leela avatars, and there's no Leela avatar in technical stuff. In Kali Yuga, but there's the Yuga avatar, Yuga Dharma. There must be a Yuga avatar who gives the religion of the age. And then he also quotes a verse from the Mahabharata, which from the Vishnu Sahasranam, the Suvarna Varna He Mango Vanang. Does anyone know this? Do you know that one? Tanangada. Here is the English. The Lord has a golden complexion. Indeed, his entire body, which is very nicely constituted, is like molten gold, and sandalwood pulp is smeared over his body. He will take sannyas and be very self-controlled. He will be different from Mayavadi sannyasis in that he will be fixed in devotional service, and he will spread the Sankirtan movement. Not literally, that's what it says, but that's how it's understood. And then Gopinath Acharya, after quoting that, he says, but there's no use in me quoting Shastra to you. It's like putting seeds in the desert. Just nothing's going to grow. But you will understand when you receive the mercy of the Lord. Now, then the topic changes a little bit, and now we'll start moving. He says, Gopinath Acharya ends by saying, quoting two verses from the Bhagavad Gita that says, everyone has their different opinions, and there's different philosophies, and there's countless different philosophies. And all these philosophies are reciprocations from Krishna on to different people according to what they desire and what they deserve. Krishna gives a philosophy. And everyone has some philosophy of life. But according to our mentality, we get a suitable philosophy, a way to understand and rationalize what we already are believing, basically, and what we already want. Everyone gets a philosophy by the grace of Krishna. And then their discussion ends. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya goes off, and he says, please take this Jagannath Prasadam, and then later you can teach me everything. He was joking in that way. So, now, I would like to speak about Mayavad philosophy a bit, and devotional philosophy, and the process of getting devotional knowledge. And one thing I would like to speak of is why we criticize Mayavad philosophy so much, impersonalism. Did you notice we do that? And Prabhupada, even Nivashesha Sunyavadi, Prashkatya Deyazatarani, he wanted specifically to challenge and defeat this, the Buddhist type of philosophy, this nihilistic, nothing truly exists philosophy, and everything is one philosophy. We place so much emphasis on this. Why? Our philosophy, what is the technical name of the philosophy of Mahaprabhu? Achintya Beda Beda. So what does that mean? Inconceivably. So why do we only emphasize the difference? Why do we criticize the oneness? If it's both, why don't we say, yes, that's true, but also this is true, and it's inconceivable, but we don't do that. Do we? Generally, we don't do that. Because there's a great, great problem with this Mayavada philosophy. And first of all, Prabhupada would more or less, there's a technical difference between impersonalism and Mayavada philosophy. But Prabhupada would equate them generally, because mostly people are Mayavadis, impersonalists. They mostly think that the ultimate is impersonal, and that the forms and the form of the Supreme Lord is illusion. Now, why do we call it Mayavadi, by the way? Yes. I want you to sit. Because the philosophy is everything is oneness. No, please don't. And the absolute truth is one. But when the Lord wants to come to this world, he accepts sattvagun, goodness, and then he is known as Ishwara. Goodness is material. And when the jivas come to this world, they accept passion and ignorance, and they are known as Deva. The Supreme Lord accepts passion and ignorance. This is Mayavada philosophy. Now, this is the philosophy of Shankaracharya, but we don't agree with it. Okay. But why do we criticize it continually? Why does Mahaprabhu make such a... And Srila Jiva Goswami and the great Acharyas, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, why do they continuously criticize that? It's very contagious, but good things are contagious too. And we don't criticize the good things. But what is the real problem with Mayavada philosophy? Impersonalism. Yes, but why do we criticize that to the devotees? Why are we always trying to tell the devotees about this? Yes, so it's very painful for the devotees who actually love Krishna. But that's not exactly the point I want to make here. It's from a different point of view. Yes. Yes. And the process of Krishna consciousness. Because here's why. Here we are, jiva souls, who we think, I'll speak a little about some psychology right now, that we think we know who we are. Or at least we have a feeling I am. Does anyone not have a feeling I am? Well, you couldn't say yes. I don't have a feeling of I am, because you'd be saying I am is saying I don't have a feeling of I am. But we all have a feeling of existence, that we exist. I am. Here I am. There's something that exists, and that's me. But what exactly that me is very hard for a person to understand. The materialists, if you ask them, who are you? What do they say? Well, we know how to deal with this. This is my forehead. This is my nose. Here's my mouth and my arm. Just like we say, this is my shawl, my chadar, my dhoti. This is my friend. But who is the possessor? Now, according to psychology, you ever heard the word a complex? A complex, a psychological complex. You know what that means? It means that it's sort of like a computer program in our mind. There's automatic reactions that go on. There's a sub-program that goes on, a routine. Is that what you call it? A routine goes on. And if you press a certain button, a certain set of reactions just automatically occur. And we all have all these complexes within us. This is what contemporary psychology says. And that we're just this, basically, the sense of ego is this big ball of complexes, automatic reactions that we gain in our childhood according to our conditioning. And the self, who we really are, it has nothing to do with how we act. And we also see this. So many times we want to do something. We say, from now on, I'm going to chant attentively. Or from now on, I'm not going to look at this. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm not going to eat ice cream anymore, or something like that. And suddenly, ice cream appears before me, and we go. The ice cream has set off this virus program in our consciousness that puts us completely out of control and just makes us do something completely against our will. Because we have these little programs, these configurations of action reactions in us that don't have anything to do with us, even from the psychological point of view, what to speak of the spiritual point of view. So here I am, not knowing who I am, with all these conflicting programs pushing me in conflicting directions completely, and I say I want to be a devotee, and then I do things that are exactly opposite of me wanting to be the devotee, and I say, okay, I don't want to be a devotee, and then I find myself doing things exactly opposed to me not being a devotee, and I say I want to do this, and I do the opposite things. Who is this person, and what is his perception of reality? And what is the value of his perception of reality? He's seeing everything through the limited perceptions of his mind, which are all conditioned by his consciousness and his complexes and his viewpoints and all the things we don't think about. And that, they call some of these things, it's really, really interesting if you want to get into psychology, how we have all these things that we are, and we have these tendencies that we have, but it's not good to have them. So we sort of push them away, and we try to be always on our best behavior when we're around people. And then sometimes these bad things, someone does a little thing, and these things that we're not supposed to be come up so strongly and overpower what we're supposed to be. And we get really angry, and we do things that are completely unbecoming of what we want to be. And here is this very conditioned, and this is what it means to be a conditioned soul. We use the term conditioned soul. It means to someone who is reacting according to the conditions that control him. He's completely reacting to conditions. And pretty much, he has no freedom. It's like one of Matazi recently asked me, not here. She asked me, we were having class in Perth, and she asked me, how do you know what part of you is your conditioned part and what part of you is the real you? And the reality is that it's very, very, very difficult to know. You practically speaking can't know. So my answer was, just don't worry about it. Otherwise, you'll have to become a jnani to, like, try to separate all the different parts of you And you really, actually, you can do this through jnana. You can see, you can perceive yourself as completely different from your intelligence, from your mind. The mind is very gross. The intelligence is more subtle. You can perceive almost to the level of you as separate from the false ego. You can do this through jnana, but you can't find Krishna. Because here we are, this conditioned being covered by the Lord's energy. And it forces us to act in so many ways that have nothing to do with us and even what we want to do. So, and there is Krishna, on the other hand, who's not only infinite, but a person, which appears contradictory to the finite intelligence, a person who is boundless and unlimited. Therefore, achintya, veda, veda. Inconceivable oneness and difference. Inconceivable shakti, potencies. And yet, in a form. And with characteristics. And one of his characteristics is that he likes cows. Now, how are you going to speculate and through your power of your intelligence to figure that out? That the person, Krishna, who is the source of everything, not only likes cows, but loves cows. And he massages the legs of the calves. And he calls them by their names. And they love him. And he loves them. And everything, and everyone, and the grass and the trees in Braja, in Vrindavan, in the spiritual world. They love Krishna. He is the center. He is the central figure. His pleasure, due to the love of the residents of Vrindavan, is their pleasure. Naturally, spontaneously. Now, how is this soul who is has all these viruses programs running in him, making him jump all different places against his will, taken over practically by the material energy and experiencing as himself due to misidentification with the false ego? How is he going to understand this person, Krishna, in Goloka Vrindavan? There is a way. There is a process. And that process is called Bhakti Yoga. We know that. Devotional service to him. But at the heart of the process of Bhakti Yoga, there is another process, which is the essence of it. And that other process is called Saranagati, or surrender. Now, what does Saranagati mean? Prabhupada translates it as surrender. And when we think of surrender, what do we think of? Well, you're much better than me. I think of someone standing there with a gun. He says, put your hands up. You surrender? Yes, yes, I surrender, I surrender, I surrender. But what surrender means in its essence is a changing of identification. In one of those six items of surrender, it's Gotripte Varanam Tata. That instead of identifying me, who I am, with all these different complexes and programs and conditioned parts and desires and conflicting this and conflicting that, and my body and my mind, that sense of who I am is gone. And I now consider myself as Krishna's. I am yours. Not in an intellectual way, not in a physical way, but that transformation in the depths of the heart is what Sharanagati is. An identification of me being Krishna's, his part, his parcel, his servant, his insignificant servant. That is who I am. I am Krishna's. Now, the idea, the concept, is the central point. Bhakti begins with the concept of I am Krishna's. And my existence is meant for his pleasure. The conditioned soul, the material mind, all those complexes and programs run completely contrary to this. Do you see it? They all run completely contrary to this. This is Maya's work, to program us with so many infinite variety of alternatives to this one, to avoid this one alternative, as I am Krishna's. And that central idea is bhakti. And it develops, of course, into love. But that's the central idea. And based on that, there are so many activities. It's the idea, the concept, that is central. Now, I want to make this point. I think I made it four times already. I'll make it one more time. It's the idea that's central. It's the Sharanagati. It's that I am Krishna's that gives life to the other processes, the services, the chanting, the hearing. Now, we chant and hear and do so many other things because in addition to them being the essence, that the idea is the center, they're also purifying. Bhavo shada mana shotamana baramat. For the one who is sick, they also act as oshud medicine. They purify us. They clean the heart. Cheto dorpana marjanam. But the essence of the process is more than that. It's the ecstatic relationship with Krishna. Krishna bhakti rasato bhavatomahi. The essence of the process, the idea, is establishing the soul in his unconditioned, simple relationship with Krishna. That I love you, Krishna, I am yours. And what he gets from that central idea is that not only am I Krishna, but Krishna is mine. Until we give ourselves to Krishna, we won't be able to experience the second part of that, of the security of knowing that Krishna is mine, being part of Krishna and feeling part of Krishna. Because in the material consciousness, we say, what's the four things we say? Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Okay. Out of those four, which is the one that's the heaviest on the conditioned soul? Fearing, defending. We defend because we're fearful. And what's the opposite of being fearful? It is feeling completely secure and taken care of which is exactly what happens when we make Krishna ours, because we give ourselves to Krishna because we're His and He's ours. And He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, if He's working for you, what could be better, what could be more secure than that? But not in a silly way, like I just made it, but the depth of experience of that. So, this is the heart of the process. Now, there are three ways to realize, that people use to realize the truth. Karma, jnana, and bhakti, we say. These are the three ways. So with karma, if someone is selfishly motivated, and not surrendered, he could be chanting and doing devotional service. And what will he get from his chanting and devotional service? Yayatam mam prapadyante. He'll get just what he wants. And what does he want? He wants some fruit of karma. Well, what are the fruits of karma that I want? Well, I won't tell you all of them. It's so embarrassing, but you know, there is a, sometimes that I'd like a better car, I mean, you know, or something, and enough money that I could not have to work, and not only that, I would like my nose to be a little straighter too, and it's the knee, the left knee at this point, and I, only if I could sing like him. Either that, or I wish he would get a bad cold and he couldn't sing anymore, and then he'd be able to sing like me instead of me singing like him. And play the harmonium, if I knew Sanskrit, and if I could fly. Does anyone have dreams of flying? It's so nice, isn't it? It's really so nice just to just take off any time you want. And save so much money, too, going to India, you know, if you want to go to India. I mean, so many desires sit in my heart. And if I chant and perform bhaktis by Krishna's mercy, I'll get them. I'll get them. I could be Indra. I could be, oh, there's so many things I could get. And if what's sitting in my heart is the desire to merge and just to finally become free from the distress of material existence, if I've had enough, and that's what's really pushing me, driving the machine of my bhakti, then I'll get that. I'll get the fruits of my work, of my desires. I'll finally get free from all suffering. But I won't go to Krishna. Never. I'm chanting. I'm attending all the programs. I'm being really good. And everyone is saying that I'm such a good devotee, and I'm giving class, and I can so many slokas, and but these desires in my heart, especially to be free from all suffering, and I'll never get to Krishna. The idea should be established right. Anya bilasi tasanyam jnana kamara navrita anakulena Krishna anakshilanam bhakti uttam. It is uttama bhakti. Especially, it is spontaneous devotion. We can't emphasize that too much, because then we'll all start in our upward mobility. We'll start being spontaneous, so that everyone will know how spontaneous we are. But it is this that is the Abhideya Tattva, the process of seeing Krishna, of being with Krishna. And it begins with Saranagati. And because it is very difficult from the outside to tell who is doing what for what reason, and it is even more difficult for us to be our own doctor and understand how polluted and contaminated we are with these desires. Therefore, we hear about them continuously, so that the light of our consciousness stops turning to focusing on everyone else, saying, well, he's like this, and he's like this, and she's like this, and she's like that, which is just really a reflection of our own consciousness. That we turn that light inside and become humble. The opposite of humility is pride. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was proud. He was proud because he was a great scholar. He was proud because he was better than everyone else. He was proud because he was the teacher of so many sannyasis of Vedanta. He was proud because he was so pure and in goodness, he was able to perceive himself the oneness of everything. Well, he had a lot of good reason to be proud, but he could not perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though he was standing right in front of him and exhibiting symptoms that were impossible for anyone else to exhibit. Because he didn't have the humility, and therefore he could not achieve the mercy of the Lord, and therefore he could not see. Such a dangerous philosophy, Mayavad philosophy, because externally, renounce, chanting, worshipping the deity, all the things that devotees do, but inside there is no saranagati. Instead, there is the poisonous desire to want to become one. In the Patanjali Yoga system, they even accept the body of the Lord and they want to merge into that body. Anything but serve. So when we hear that phrase, anything but surrender and serve, do we think, oh, those people, that one's like that and that one's like that? Or do we become incredibly embarrassed because that defines me and my consciousness to the T? Pastime goes on. But that's why. Because this will, it's bhakti, and people who are impersonalists, Mayavadis, they can even exhibit the symptoms of ecstasy. They're detached from this material world. They can even cry when they chant and roll on the ground in ecstasy. But the point is that the external should be springing from the internal. And the internal, to be in the spiritual world with Krishna, Goloka Vrindavan, is not wanting to become one with Krishna, but loving him with such a sense of mamata, of belonging, and wanting to please him. So therefore, Mayavada philosophy is criticized because it's the greatest, even more than material desires and material faults and everything, because it's very hard to uproot it from the heart. It's criticized again and again and again because it's the greatest obstacle to being with Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. Chanting the name of Krishna will bring the Mayavadi to, because there's bhakti in that, it will bring him to merge. No more troubles, no more miseries, no more credit card bills, no more this problem and that problem. Just shanti. Just shanti. Sometimes it's quite attractive, isn't it? But not compared to Goloka Vrindavan. And Mahaprabhu, by his exhibitions of his ecstasies, his heart overflowed to everyone. And what overflowed was his taste. The teacher acting as the student. His taste overflowed on everyone, and everyone caught it. From his eyes, hundreds of streams of his separation from Krishna would flow. Hundreds would shooting out like a syringe. His chanting of Krishna's names. His overflowing. Inundating. Sarvabhauma's time was coming, though. Because he actually did take Mahaprabhu out of his kindness. He wanted to instruct him. And he took Mahaprabhu inside the Jagannath temple and instructed him on Vedanta for 7 days. And Vedanta is very thick. It's all sutras. Everything is compressed. It can have infinite meanings. And the teacher expands the meaning. The commentators expand the meanings and explain everything. And he was following the Sharirakpasya. And he was explaining how everything meant impersonal. Oneness. Liberation. Freedom from any individuality. The absolute is qualityless. If it has no qualities, there's no quality of mercy, what hope do we have? He explained for 7 days, what hope do I have? For 7 days, and Mahaprabhu just sat. And he didn't fall asleep. Sat and did not say one word. He did not agree. He did not disagree. He did not ask one question. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had never experienced anything like this before. He said, finally, after 7 days, he said, I can't understand whether you understand anything I've said. You don't fall asleep, which would mean something. You're just listening attentively, but you don't ask any questions. You don't affirm it. You don't deny it. Do you understand Vedanta at all? And Mahaprabhu then had his chance. There's a saying counseling. Don't counsel unless you've been hired. Means no one will listen to your advice unless they first ask you for advice. Because, yeah, that's just the way psychology is. People's minds are. So finally he said, why are you just not saying anything? Why are you just sitting there? And Mahaprabhu said, do you understand Vedanta or not? You understand or not? No questions, no nothing? And Mahaprabhu said, yes, I understand Vedanta. But I couldn't understand anything that you said for the last 7 days. Vedanta itself is clear like the sun. It gives its light. But your words are like clouds that cover Vedanta and its meaning. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, what? Vedanta is clear, but my words cover it? Okay. You tell me what's so clear. Because by that time, he was ready to hear something. Because he didn't. He was tired. You know. Some people are never ready to hear anything. There's this one in the Philippines. Philippines. Have you ever been to the Philippines? Prabhupada had visited in Manila, and he was giving a lecture, and there were about 500 people there, and then he gave his lecture, and then he asked, are there any questions? And this person raised his hand, he was called on, and he began speaking. And sometimes when you ask a question, it's more like a lecture, that you're just trying to show everyone that you don't have any questions, that you want to explain everything to everyone. So this person started speaking and ununderstandable things. You know, he was just some impersonal this or that. I can't remember one word of what he said. And after about a minute or two, Prabhupada said, are you finished? And he said, no. He thought himself very wonderful. And then he kept on speaking for another minute or two or whatever. And then in the audience, by that time, all the other people were, and how long is he? No one could understand anything that it didn't really make any sense. And then Prabhupada said after another, are you finished? So, no. And he kept on speaking and speaking and speaking. And then after another minute, Prabhupada said, are you finished? And he said, yes. And Prabhupada said, then sit down. And all the audience cheered. If he would have done that in the beginning, they would have taken the other person's side. Oh, you don't get it. Let anyone dance and on and on. But they were already. So some people, Prabhupada didn't even bother saying anything to him because he wasn't ready to hear. But at this time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, after having spoken for 7 days, was ready to hear. And Mahaprabhu then, completely using Shastra, devastated Mayavad philosophy. And he was the greatest of scholars. The greatest of scholars. Of course, he's the Supreme Lord. He devastated Mayavad philosophy with Shastra. He spoke about the greatest of the Mayavadis, impersonalists, like Sukadeva Goswami. Soon as he was born, he left home, did not want to get entangled. He was so detached. And Srila Vyasadeva sent out some verses of the Bhagavatam. Srila Vyasadeva wanted him to hear the Bhagavatam. But Sukadeva didn't want anything to do with family life. Didn't want to get entangled. This is jnana. I don't want to get entangled. Karma means entanglement. Detached, complete detached. He had no identification with his body at all. And Srila Vyasadeva sent out some verses. He sent out his disciples singing these verses in the forest. And when Srila Sukadev, who was free from material contamination but an impersonalist, heard these verses, Bahavidam Natavara Vapu Kanayok, describing Krishna, the person, Krishna, and how sweet Krishna is with his friends, the coward boys, entering the Vrindavan forest, and they're chanting his glories, and Krishna's playing his flute. And when Sukadev heard these verses, he was attracted, and he came back. Now I want to hear more. Teach me. I want to hear this Bhagavatam. What has broken through this shanti, 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 everything one in peacefulness? And something broke through that, but it wasn't Maya. It wasn't of this world. It was of the sweetest spiritual variety. It was Krishna. It was variety on the spiritual level. And he spoke about Sukadev. He spoke about the guru of the jnanis, the impersonalists, the four kumaras, how they entered Vaikuntha, as described in the fourth canto of the third canto of the Bhagavatam. They entered Vaikuntha, and they caught with their nostrils the fragrance of the tulsi leaves from the feet of Krishna, and their minds went wild. They who were fixed in impersonal oneness, they were fixed in it. They were captivated completely. They had no attraction for anything of this world, but the fragrance of the tulsi leaf on the feet of Lord Narayan had captured their minds completely, because it was a fragrance, a taste from a different realm, the spiritual realm. And they loved it. And it minimized completely their previous realization, which was the realization of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and all the impersonalists and Mayavadis are striving and striving and striving and striving to get what the four Kumaras and Sukadev Goswami, their gurus, were living in, were experiencing continuously. And they rejected it immediately and wanted to hear about Krishna and experience Krishna through hearing about him. The taste of Krishna's association. So he preached to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was shocked. He could not say a word. And Mahaprabhu said, even the Atmaramas, he quoted the verse from the first canto, seventh chapter of Bhagavatam, Atmaramas tam hunayo nagrantupi rukrami kurvanti ahaitaki bhakti tam guna guna hari tam guna hari. That even if you're self-satisfied, completely experiencing yourself as spirit, you'll be attracted fully to the pastimes of Krishna. Mahaprabhu said that, and then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, you please explain that verse. And Mahaprabhu said, no, no, no. First, you explain it. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the great scholar, explained it with the limit of jnana in 9 different ways, until again he could not say another word. He had exhausted all the possible meanings of this verse. And then Mahaprabhu said, I can say something. And then he explained it in 18 more ways. And later on, he took that same verse and explained it to Sanatana Goswami in 61 more ways. Unlimited. Unlimited intelligence, unlimited power, unlimited wealth, beauty, renunciation, everything, unlimited. So when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya heard those additional 18 explanations, he was ready for a change. And he said, I know what knowledge is. And I expanded the verse to the limit of knowledge. And this is something from a different level. This is the Lord speaking. And then, fainted. Now, but I want to continue. First thing he did, after being struck with wonder and understanding that he is the Supreme Lord speaking, this is Krishna himself, chamatkar. What does chamatkar mean? Amazed. Wonder. He was filled with amazement, as we would say in 1960s terminology, his mind was blown. It was mind-blowing. I mean, that means his concept of reality was completely shattered. And he thought, in a self-condemning way, he is Krishna himself. Because I could not understand him and was very proud of my own learning, I have committed many offenses. And then, he was already renounced, he was already knowledgeable, but he was proud. And he thought his realization, his view on reality, was reality itself. And when his pride was shattered, blown to pieces, he saw himself as an offender. And he took shelter of the Lord. He surrendered, sharana, sharanagati. He gave himself to the Lord, and then, Mahaprabhu, then decided to show him his mercy. He was already qualified, but he was proud and therefore limited. Limited by what he already had and already knew and his already realization that was so much better than 99% of everyone's realization, but it was limited by his ascending process and his capacity. And then, Mahaprabhu, when that was blown to pieces, he decided to show him his mercy. And he immediately assumed four arms, a Vishnu form. And then he appeared before him in his original form as Krishna. And then he offered obeisances. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya immediately offered obeisances, dandavat obeisances, and he began to offer prayers. And then, by Krishna's mercy, all truths were revealed in his heart, because that is the way that we can go beyond our capacity when Krishna gives us more than we have the possibility of ever imagining or dreaming or can gather by our own powers, by our own very limited, insignificant conceptions. And he began to offer prayers. And all truths manifested in him. And by the mercy of the Lord, Prabhu Kripaya Tandra Sporila Sabha Tattva, all tattva came to him. Nama Prema Dana Adi Varnena Mahat. And he can understand the importance of chanting the holy name and distributing love of God everywhere. Prema Dan. Nama Prema Dan. He understood the importance of the name of Krishna, because now that concept, that impersonal concept, which causes one to chant the holy name, and the holy name will bring one to the Brahma Jyoti and give one, award one, just what one wants, liberation. And now that was removed. And he understood the importance of the holy name. And what is the importance of the holy name? It brings us to the lotus feet of Krishna. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it reveals our spirit, who we are eternally, our spiritual body, our identity in relationship with Krishna. And therefore, because it is a desire tree, Nama Chintamani Krishnas. It is a desire tree. It gives us everything. What then is the importance of distributing this kindly to others? Krishna Kirtan. So we understood this. And then, in a very short time, he composed 100 verses known as the Chaitanya Sataka, Savaboma Sataka, Susloka Sataka. Here it's called the Susloka. Very auspicious verses. He just spontaneously, after really realizing everything, he began to compose these verses. Please open the window, because I'd like to do something. Read some of them. But it'll be quiet reading. And therefore, I guess whoever's tired can just go ahead, go to sleep. Because you deserve it after listening to such a long class already. It's already 1 o'clock. It's got to be. And do we have the sound set up for playing the flute music background? Yes, you have that same first number one. I'm not going to read all 100 verses, by the way. That would also put me to sleep at this point. I probably couldn't do it. I'd run out. But I have some here that gives us an idea of his mood. Now, what I would like you to do is, I think we probably, yeah, it'll be practical. Everyone raise your hands. Yes, thank you. High in the air, and say, oh, what should we say? You say something. Too. Come on, get everyone fired up. But really, high, and touch the ceiling, and oh, stretch up, and backwards, and oh. Go! You're not trying hard enough. God, you're not touching the ceiling. You can touch the ceiling. Yeah, stretch and backwards too. Oh. Okay, that was something anyway. Okay, well that, Koti. Oh, just now starting. Now, what I'd like everyone to do is remember that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya just had his previous concept of life smashed. And he was the greatest of scholars, the leader of hundreds and hundreds He was the advisor of the king. His word was law, practically speaking. Is it on? And then he gained knowledge that completely overshadowed his previous realization and understanding. And that knowledge, that realization, issued from his heart through his mouth in 100 verses. His consciousness, his realization was revealed. Now I've picked some of those verses, short ones. Please listen to what his realization was. That wasn't it. I mean, that's the music, but that wasn't his realization. This is a great flute player. A little bit louder. Now close your eyes. Please close your eyes. And just breathe. Oh, you're already breathing probably already, but just breathe in and out a little bit and see if the racing mind or the tired mind can focus. I can't hear anything. And please try to perceive the scene in your mind that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was teaching Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 7 days, telling him the best of his realizations of Vedanta, impersonal realizations. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was just a young boy, practically speaking, shattered apart his understanding of the impersonal being the highest. See the scene. And then Mahaprabhu explained to him deeper knowledge of Krishna, the Supreme Lord, in Goloka Vrindavan. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was able to see by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu's form as Lord Narayan, as Krishna. And then he received all knowledge. And then he opened his eyes and saw the form of Mahaprabhu in front of him. And please, in your mind's eye, see the form of Mahaprabhu in front of you. And hear the words of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. I offer my obeisances to Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is an ocean of mercy. O Lord of the universe, be merciful to me and engage me as your servant. This was the impersonalist speaking. O Sri Chaitanya, you are always bestowing love of God to the fallen souls. I repeatedly pray that you accept me as your servant. O my Lord, I am fallen. I am absorbed in the ocean of repeated birth and death. And you are expert at delivering fallen souls. Please be kind. Please deliver me. I surrender at your lotus feet. The beauty of his sweet, smiling lotus face is like the golden bud of a lotus, and his lips resemble the ripened bimba fruit, and his throat is shaped like a conch shell. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Gaurachandra, whose strong limbs are most beautiful and who enchants the three worlds. O friend of the universe, O ocean of love, please give your service and a place at your lotus feet to this person who is bereft of knowledge and full of duplicity. O Lord, your name is Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the most fallen. Therefore, please be merciful to me. I offer my respectful obeisances to that supreme person who has given the living entities tormented by the age of Kali. He has given them the holy name of Krishna. That holy name is auspicious to the world, and it destroys all obstacles along with the miseries of lamentation, illusion, and greed. Oh, what a beautiful body Sri Gaurachandra has. He is wearing saffron cloth, and his complexion is like molten gold. He alone is the giver of all auspiciousness. He is most compassionate. He is the friend of the poor, and therefore he is worshipable. I pray to that ever blissful Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who has given up his form as Krishna and who has appeared with a golden complexion in this age of Kali. I pray to that ever blissful Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and I take shelter at his lotus feet. He has given up his yellow cloth and accepted the saffron cloth of a sannyasi. He is an ocean of mercy and is the only shelter of the three worlds. When Sri Gaurasunda appeared in this age of Kali, the sinful persons, the chandalas, low-born persons, everyone became Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas have received the mercy of Gaura. And seeing the unfortunate condition of the fallen souls who are completely bound in the cycle of birth and death, the Vaishnavas take compassion on them and distribute the holy names of the Lord. O Lord, O Sri Krishna Chaitanya, my tongue is meant for glorifying your holy name, my ears are meant for hearing your qualities, my mind is meant for remembering your pastimes, my eyes are meant for seeing your beautiful form, and my head is meant for offering obeisances at your lotus feet. Sri Gaurachandra, by his own sweet will, delivered the living entities tormented by Kali and who were drowning in the ocean of the suffering of the material world. Lord Gauranga gave those living entities the nectar of the holy name, and he clearly explained the glories of the name and the glories of the Vaishnavas. According to the order of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, his followers are delivering the living entities who are tormented by Kali and are distributing the nectar of the holy names to each and every house of every town and village. Ever since Sri Gauranga, the personification of love, began distributing Krishna Prema, all the ungrateful, the drunkards, the sinful, and the suffering, they all gave up their desires to enjoy in this material world their sinful activities and saw them as poison. And they decided to drown themselves in the ocean of happiness in the congregational chanting of the holy names. These most sinful persons, who had no alternative for deliverance in other yugas, are now absorbed in the ocean of happiness by the mercy of the holy names which were introduced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Gaurachandra is fully manifesting his mercy on the fallen souls out of compassion by always praying to Krishna. He's praying in this way: O Krishna, O ocean of mercy, please protect the living entities who are burning in the forest fire of the material world. O Lord, please give them your own wealth of prema bhakti. No one but Sri Satyanandana, who is the deliverer of the fallen, and the only shelter of the poor, is able to pray in such a way. Seeing the morose, frightened living entities, tormented by Kali and contaminated by sinful activities, Satchinandana Gaura Hari has given them the holy name of Sri Hari. He has given his devotees the practice of chanting the holy names while dancing and playing musical instruments. Sri Gaura Sanda is instructing his beloved devotees in each and every house, install and worship the deity of Krishna, whose threefold bending form is most enchanting. O Lord Gaura Sanda, please give me shelter at your lotus feet, the toes of which resemble the buds of the champak flower. O merciful Lord, please give me your mercy. I offer my repeated obeisances at your feet. O Lord Gaura Sanda, you are the deliverer of hundreds of fallen souls. I do not know by what offense I'm bereft of your mercy. O friend of the poor, I am very afraid of the contaminations of Kali Yuga. Please protect me. What more can I say? You are the only Lord and the shelter of the conditioned souls, the surrendered souls. What wonderful character does a son of Sachi, Lord Gauranga, have? By instructing people about the holy name of Hari, Lord Gauranga is inducing them to be attached to Hari. Now, all these people are dancing in Sankirtan with ecstatic love of God. They cry in ecstasy and explain the glories of Hari to others. After the appearance of the son of Sachi, Lord Gauranga, in this world, all the people began always to discuss the topics of Krishna amongst themselves in order to destroy the sinful reactions that they suffer from and being tormented by the age of Kali. They vibrate the holy names of Hari, which give devotion to the Lord, and in ecstasy, in love, they discuss him in various ways. Some people have perfected their lives and attained their desired goal in previous yugas, Satya, Treta, and Dwapara, by performing austerities, by meditating, or performing sacrifices. But in Kali Yuga, people attain the association of Krishna simply by the merciful glance of Sri Gaura Sunda and by chanting his holy names. Sri Krishna Chaitanya has offered in this universe. He has offered everyone in this universe the garland of the holy names of Krishna, and thereby he has taken away their sins. Sri Krishna Chaitanya has preached and manifested the holy name of Hari, which is auspicious for the whole world, and which is being made easily available to anyone and everyone. And whoever receives the holy name is certainly fortunate and becomes qualified. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everybody together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everybody together. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Bolo Bolo, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, O Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Faster, faster. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bolo! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Bolo! Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ramo, Ramo, Hare, Hare, Bolo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everybody together, please, loudly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Haribo. Haribo, Haribo, Nityagor, Haribo, Nityagor, Haribo, 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 Nityagor, Haribo, Nityagor, Haribo, 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 Nityagor, Haribo, 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 Haribo,